Our Bible reading today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read the first 8 verses of that chapter. And then we're turning also over to 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 13 through to the end of verse 17. And I would encourage in your home to look up the scriptures and mark those two passages in your Bible. Our first reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. And then our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 17. And do pray that God will speak through His Word as we read it together, and then as we preach that message that the Lord has given to us today. Let us hear the Word of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse number 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, and not in that lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who have also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Then turning in our Bibles over to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and reading just from verse 13, going down to the end of the verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 17. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of His eternal and infallible Word into all of our hearts. Now, the verse of Scripture I want us to look at today is verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 1. I read that verse with you again. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, in this verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter is appealing for holiness of life amongst the people of God in his day. Prior to this, the Lord's people had been reminded about some of the great doctrines that relate to their Christian life. But here in verse 15, Peter is dealing with the matter of practical Christianity. Yes, the matter of holiness of life amongst the people of God. You see, the Lord's will for His people in the day of the Apostle Peter was that they live a holy life. Indeed, this was vital if their testimony and their witness was to bring honor to the Lord and was to glorify Christ. Now, we can say today that holiness of life for God's people is really a subject that runs throughout the entire Bible. Back in the book of Leviticus chapter 11 and in the verse 44, there the Lord is speaking to His people and He says, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And there God was speaking to His people about holiness of life. Again over in Psalm 93 and verse 5, the psalmist there is speaking to the Lord about the Lord's people. And he says, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. And again, there's the thought of holiness amongst God's people. Again, over in the prophecy of Obadiah near the end of the Old Testament. And verse 17, the prophet there is speaking about the Lord's people, and he says, "But upon Mount Zion there shall be holiness." Again, there the thought is one of holiness of life amongst the saints of God. And then think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy about the Christian life. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse number 9, he says, "Of the Lord who have saved us and called us with an holy calling." And there Paul reminded Timothy that every believer, every child of God is called with an holy calling unto the Lord. By such verses, they prove to us that God's people are to live a holy life. And my, just as it was in Bible times, this is still God's purpose for His people. Indeed, for His church worldwide today. Yes, all who are saved by the grace of God are to live a holy life. And that being the case, then it is vital for every believer to consider these words of Peter here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 15. When he says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." As we would look at this verse today, there are three things I want you just to note with me regarding this call to holiness in the life of God's people. First of all, I want you to see here the motives for living a holy life. The Christian is to live a holy life because it is something that God commands of His people. Look at verse 16, the next verse after our text. It says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And there Peter is quoting the words of the Lord. In fact, he is quoting from Leviticus 11, verse 44. God gave this command to His people in the Old Testament. And this command still applies in the New Testament times. Believer, can I say that holiness of life is not an option? It is a command for our life. Indeed, it has been said that we may choose whether or not to marry. But it is not left to us whether or not we live a holy life. In other words, a holy life is an imperative, a command from God. Yes, God's command to you and I who are saved is, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Then we can also say further that the Christian is to live a holy life because Christ died and rose again to purchase such a life. Look at what Peter says further on down this chapter in verses 18 and 19, speaking of the redeeming work of Christ in the life of God's people. He says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." You notice that word there, redeemed. It literally means to purchase. And Christ died upon the cross. He shed His blood to deliver us from our sins so that we who are saved can live a new life for the glory of God. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1 and the verse number 4. Speaking of what Christ has done for His people and the purpose of that sacrifice. He says of Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God the Father. And through the redeeming work of Christ, it's the will of God the Father that you and I live a holy life to the glory of God. The hymn writer says, "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven saved by His precious blood." But then further we can say that the Christian is to live a holy life because it is possible and enabled by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 22 of this same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1. It says there, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." Notice that phrase there, "through the Spirit." Here Peter tells of God's people being enabled by the Holy Spirit to exercise compassion toward their fellow believer. And this really shows how the Holy Spirit in our hearts can enable you and I to live a holy life. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 8 says, God have also given unto us His Holy Spirit. Then we can also add that the Christian is to live a holy life. For in doing so, he will become more like Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, there you read of the purpose of God for His saved people. And it says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And God's people are to conform to the image of Christ. They are to reveal Christ and be like Christ. Yes, God's people are to follow the example of Christ, their Savior. And what was Christ like? Well, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, we read there that Christ was one who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He lived a life of perfect holiness. Therefore, be you and I also living a holy life. We're seeking to follow after the example of Christ. Yes, by such a testimony, we will show to others in this world that we belong to Christ. We will reveal Christ, our Savior, to the world around us day by day. Then we can also add that the Christian is to live a holy life. If he is to enjoy and know the presence of God with him in his life. Think of what is said by the psalmist in Psalm 24 and the verses 3 and 4. The question is asked, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? The answer given is, he that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Those words really mean that you and I can only know and enjoy God's presence in our life as God's people if we live a holy life. Remember the question that is asked in Amos chapter 3 in the verse 3. There the question is, can two walk together except they be agreed? Believer, learn from that if you live contrary to God and God's ways for your life, you cannot walk with God. Thus you will not know the presence of the Lord and enjoy the presence of God in your life as you should. Whenever the Reverend Duncan Campbell went to minister God's word in the Outer Hebrides Islands at the time of revival, he was asked the question, are you walking with God? What a question that is. Believer in Christ, if you are to walk with God in this world, then you must live a holy life. That's what the Bible teaches for you and I. In Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 14, it says there, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We are to know and enjoy God's presence in our life and in our work, and witness for God. Then we must live a holy life. Yes, we see the motives for living a holy life. But notice, secondly, in connection with our text, notice the marks of a holy life. Look again at what our text says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Notice that word holy. It literally means to separate. Or if you like, to be set apart. Notice also there that word conversation. It literally means a person's behavior, their attitude, the whole demeanor of their life, so to speak. And the meaning here is that in living a holy life, the believer's life is to be different from the ungodly and the evil ways of this world. And what then does that mean? What is then the mark of such a life? Well, a holy life means a girded mind. Look at what Peter says in verse 13 of this chapter. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. What is a girded mind? Well, a girded mind really is a disciplined mind. In other words, the Christian must be careful about what he allows his mind to dwell upon and think upon, what he allows to enter into his mind. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Philippi about what they should think about and allow their minds to dwell upon. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he says this. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And there he lists certain things, that which is true and honest and just and pure and lovely, that which is of good report, that which is full of virtue and praise, and every single one of those characteristics, they are found in Christ, that they are found in the Word of God. Thus Paul was counseling those believers to think of these things as they are found in Christ, as they are found in the Word of God. And believer, the same applies to you and I also. These things that have been mentioned there in Philippians 4, verse 8, we find them in Christ. We find them in the Word of God. Therefore, our minds are to be fixed upon Christ, upon the Word of God. Believer, surely the warning is this: be careful what you allow to enter into your mind. Be careful what you view and listen to on the various media outlets that there is today. Be careful what you read in books and in the press. My, protect your mind. Don't allow your mind to be polluted with that which is evil and wrong, those things that are ungodly in this world. Protect your mind from those things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, it says there, abstain from all appearance of evil. Then we can say further that the mark of a holy life means a hopeful spirit. Look again at verse 13 there of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The hope there mentioned, spoken of, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in power and glory, when he comes to take his people home to heaven and to glory itself. In Titus chapter 2 and the verse 13, there the Word of God says to the believer, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. George Whitefield was a man who lived with his eyes upon the coming of the Lord. He could say, "I am daily waiting for the coming of the Son of God." And believer, living a holy life means you keeping heaven before you. It means you keeping the coming of the Lord before your heart and mind as you go through this life. Never lose sight of the fact that Christ is coming back again in power and in great glory the second time. Turning your Bible over to 2 Peter chapter 3, just over a little bit from our Bible reading. 2 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 10 and 11. And here Peter speaks of the coming of the Lord as a motive for holiness amongst God's people. The two are connected. And he says in verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 3, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Believer, living a holy life means you and I keeping our eyes, our mind, upon the coming of the Lord. But also a holy life means fearing the Lord. Look at verse 17 there of 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice what it says there. It says, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Notice that last expression there, "past the time of your sojourning here in fear." That fear, it speaks of the fear of the Lord in our lives. What does that mean? To fear the Lord, believer, means saying no to that which grieves the Lord, saying no to that which offends the Lord. And that's how Joseph lived as a young Christian down in Egypt. The Bible tells us how Potiphar's wife tempted him to commit the sin of adultery with her. But Joseph said no, he refused. Why? Because he feared the Lord. Genesis 39 and the verse 9, he said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord? Yes, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this is what it means, Christian, to live a holy life. It means living this life in the fear of the Lord. But also we can say that a holy life means compassion for others. Look again at what Peter says in verse 22 of this first chapter of 1 Peter. He says there, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Notice that word unfeigned. That literally means that which is real and true and genuine. A real, genuine love and concern for others. It means you and I as believers going the second mile to help others in word and in deed. Think of the words of the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, there he is. He's speaking to God's people about this matter of practical love and compassion towards other saints of God and others in life. And this is what he says. He says, but whoso have this world's good and see if his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You think of what the hymn writer says to God's people. It says to the believer, make friends of God's children and help those who are weak. And how vital that is in our life. You and I are to live a holy life. Then we can say further that another mark of a holy life means treating others with openness and with honesty. Look at what Peter says in chapter 2 of this epistle, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he says there, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies. What does that mean, believer? You and I are to treat others without a cloak of pretense. We're not to treat others with a cloak of pretense or malice. We're to lay aside those things as we lay aside a cloak or a garment that is dirty or wet or damp from our bodies. And then we can also say that a holy life means a guarded tongue. Look again at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, wherefore laying aside, notice the words, all evil speaking. Christian, your speech is to be pure. It is to be different from the ungodly. You are not to curse or swear or take God's name in vain. Your speech is to be honest. It is to be truthful. It is to be gracious. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to God's people. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, he says there, speaking the truth in love. And there he tells God's people to speak the truth, but to speak it with love and with compassion. Think of what the Word of God says in Colossians 4, verse 6. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Again, our speech is to be gracious. It is to be pure, wholesome. In Exodus 20, verse 16, there you have the ninth commandment. And it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And that applies to each and every one of us who are saved. We are to be honest in our speech and conversation with others. Over in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, there the Lord lists certain things that he hates. And in verse 19 of that chapter, he says that he hates a false witness that speak of lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. In other words, he hates wrong speech. And the implication is there that our speech is to be honest and true and gracious and pure. Christian, the Bible says in Leviticus 19, verse 16, says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Yes, a holy life means a guarded tongue. Yes, we see the marks of a holy life. We see the motives of a holy life. But notice one final thought in connection with our text today. Notice the means to a holy life. In other words, how can it be accomplished in our life? Well, it goes without saying that if a person is to live a holy life, that person, no matter who they are, they must be born again of God the Holy Spirit. Look at the emphasis that Peter puts upon that in verse 23 of the chapter. And he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You see, whenever a person is born again, they are made, the Bible says, a partaker of the divine nature. Their heart is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. In other words, the very life of God Himself is in their heart and in their soul. Oh, as you would listen in to our message today, let me ask you the question, and the question is this: have you the experience of the new birth in your heart and in your soul? Have you been born again? You think about that man that you read about in John chapter 3 by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very moral man, a very upright man. He was religious. He was well respected in his day. He was a very well educated man. And he went to the Lord Jesus Christ and he met him at night and he conversed with Christ. And what did Christ say to him? In John chapter 3 verse 3, he said this: except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then in applying God's message personally to the very heart and life of Nicodemus in verse 7 of that same chapter, he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must have the new birth. And then if you read that chapter and study it, you'll see how Christ went on to show to Nicodemus that the mark of the new birth is one of faith in Christ alone for salvation from sin. Faith in the sacrifice, the cross work, the shedding of the blood of Christ alone for salvation. Think of those words that are written in John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus that day, that night, was left in no doubt. He was to be born again. And as a repentant sinner, his faith must be in Christ and in Christ alone for salvation. Nicodemus that day trusted the Lord and was born again of the Spirit of God. And dear friend, today let me say this: if you are to have your sins forgiven by God, if you are to go to heaven one day, then you too, as a repentant sinner, must trust in Christ. You must trust in His sacrifice alone for your salvation. You must lay hold upon Christ with the hand of faith. You see, only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can redeem your soul. Only the blood of Christ can blot out your sins before a holy God. You think of what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says there, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And this is what it means to be born again. It means your faith in Christ for salvation. Yes, this is the starting place. This is the commencement to living a holy life here on earth before God. You must be saved. You must be born again. Oh, if you're not saved, if you have never yet come to Christ, even today, wherever you are listening in to God's word, to this message, may you come to Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Trust Him by faith for the cleansing away of your sin, the salvation of your soul by the precious blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, this is the starting place to living a holy life. But then once you are born again, the means to living a holy life means obeying God's word in your life. Look at what Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Notice the little phrase in the middle of the verse when he talks about obeying the truth. That means obeying the word of God. Look again at what Peter says in verse 14 of this chapter 1 of 1 Peter. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance. If we are to be obedient children, you and I must obey God's word. As it says in James, we must be doers of the word of God. Over in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, in the verses 5 and 6, there the Lord is speaking to his people about obeying God's word, how it is all linked to a holy life, a holy testimony. And he says there, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. How important it is that you and I in this day and age in which we live obey the word of God. It was Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, who said, my conscience is captive to the word of God. Child of God, may that be your testimony also. One whose conscience is captive to the word of God. By God's grace, may you seek to live out God's word. Then another means to living a holy life is also being obedient and sensitive to the leading of God, the Holy Spirit, in your heart and life. Believer, let me say this, that whenever the Holy Spirit leads you to do something for God, do it quickly. Don't delay. Do it with all your might. And can I say that the Holy Spirit will always lead you in a path that is in agreement with God's word. God the Holy Spirit never leads his people in a path that is contrary to the word of God. It always will lead you. The Holy Spirit will always lead you in agreement to God's word. That is how it was with Simeon of old that you read about in the early part of Luke's gospel. He lived a holy life to the glory of God. He was a man who was led by God the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 27, it says of Simeon that he came by the Spirit into the temple. He was led by the Holy Spirit to the temple, to the place of worship, and there he met Christ, the Christ child. And he could say, now mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He was a man who was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that is how it must be with you and I as believers. If we are to live a holy life, also as believers, we must avoid doing that which would grieve the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 4 verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Also day by day, child of God, you and I should then pray and ask God for the infilling of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. Think of the words of Christ in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. He says there, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask? Child of God, this is the way to living a holy life in this world. Think of what the hymn writer says. The Holy Spirit, Lord alone, can turn our hearts from sin. His power alone can sanctify and keep us pure within. Believer in Christ, may this be so in your life for the glory of God. Our text says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. May this be our testimony as God's people, as a church, that we might bring glory and honor to God in our lives day by day and in our wider community, that you and I might reveal Christ to a needy world.